Chapter 5. Joshua Valiente's son, Rod, called for him at the old family home in Reboot, in a stepwise footprint of New York State, 100,000 steps west of the datum. Joshua met him on the porch. It was a little after midnight, on May the 1st, 2052. "Happy birthday, Dad." Joshua shook the hand of his only child warmly. At 20, the boy was taller than Joshua, taller than his mother. He had her paler complexion, his father's darker hair. He wore clothes of treated leather and what looked like spun wool, dyed a pale green. In fact, he looked alien in the lantern light of the green homestead, but comfortable in himself, in his own skin. And he looked like he must fit right in with the shifting, ever-fragmenting kaleidoscopic communities of the stepwise forests, to which he seemed increasingly drawn. "And he's Rod now," Joshua reminded himself. "We named him Daniel Rodney. The boy was always Dan, and the man is Rod. His choice." Joshua simultaneously felt pride in this handsome, confident young man, and a stamp of regret at the evident distance between them. "Thanks for coming, son. And thanks for making this trip with me, or the chunk you're doing, anyhow."
"Well, we haven't done it yet. And you haven't seen the ship I got for you to ride in."
"Your stepping aircraft. You were kind of enigmatic."
"It's not a Twain, Dad. Nothing like that big old ship we rode to the datum when I was a kid. What was it called?"
"The Gold Dust."
That was Helen, Joshua's ex-wife, Rod's mother. She came out of the house now and wrapped her son in a hug. Helen was dressed plainly and kept her graying strawberry blonde hair pulled back in a practical bun. On coming back to Reboot after her marriage to Joshua had broken up, she'd resumed her profession of midwife, and by now was pretty senior in the stepwise extended community of New Scarsdale. She was strong, you could see that. Strong in the upper body. Strong and competent. On such a birthday as this, Joshua was very aware of his own age. But Helen herself would be 40 next year. And out came the house's final inhabitant. Helen's father, Jack, leaning precariously on a stick, was in his 70s.
"My boy, my boy!"
He wrapped his free arm around Rod's shoulders, and Rod submitted with good grace. Helen bustled around.
"Come inside and let's get this door closed. It might be May, but the nights are still cold."
She led them all into the house's main room, the core of the structure, and the first to be built, where, as a pioneer family in the years before she'd met Joshua, all the Greens had once lived in a cozy heap. All the Greens, except, of course, Rod the phobic, who they'd left behind in Datum, Madison. Helen's brother, Rod, to her son, a mysterious lost uncle, and whose name he had chosen to adopt. Rod stood there awkwardly, by a table laden with food, back in a room into which he evidently didn't feel he fitted any more.
"Mom, you shouldn't have gone to all this trouble." Helen smiled. "You knew I would, though, didn't you? Look, I know you two are going to be keen to get away."
Jack growled.
"Not even stopping by to say hi to Aunt Katie and her girls, and the grandkids. You know how they look up to you, the great Twain driver."
"I'm not a Twain driver anymore, Granddad."
"But even so."
"I'm only here for Dad."
"Fool stunt."
"If Dad wants to cross 100,000 worlds all the way back to the datum on his birthday, a single day, fine by me. We'll fly most of it. I want to do 900 miles to the Wisconsin footprint by dawn, and after that, another 6 hours flying and more stepping over Madison."
"If you don't break down on the way. Damn fool stunt, if you ask me."
"Nobody is asking, Jack," Joshua said, gently enough. "And after Rod drops me off, I'll walk the rest of the way." Helen rolled her eyes at her son.
"With Sally Lindsay. Some birthday treat that will be. Two antisocial old curmudgeons stomping across the long earth, complaining about how fine it used to be when there were no people to mess it up. None but them."
Rod shrugged gracefully. It's Dad's choice, Mom. You're only 50 once.
Damn fool stunt, Jack said again.
Helen insisted. Well, if you won't see your family, and if you won't let me fuss over you for even one night, then at least you can let me refuel you. You've a long journey ahead. So, here, there are homemade cookies with plenty of sugar, and sandwiches, the pork's frozen, but it's good, and iced tea and hot coffee and lemonade. I know it's midnight, but who cares? Sit, eat. Joshua and Rod shared a glance, shrugged as they used to when Rod was a kid named Dan, and they'd both known not to argue, and sat at the table. Even Jack awkwardly lowered his bulk into a chair. They filled their plates with food and helped themselves to drink.
Too damn late for all this, Jack grumbled, as he bit into a cookie the size of a small plate, wincing as he tried to lift his hand to his mouth.
Joshua knew that Jack, unfortunately for him, was typical of his generation, the first Long Earth pioneers. The labor he'd put in during those early years building Reboot, after a months-long trek out here with the young Helen and the rest of the family, had bequeathed Jack crippling arthritis in old age. But he had stubbornly refused expensive low-earth drugs, and turned away even basic help. Even agreeing to come live with Helen had been the end result of a war of attrition mounted by Helen when she'd come back home from hell knows where, and her older sister Katie, who had always stayed in Reboot with her own family. Jack still wrote, or tried to, on rough local-made paper, with gnarled old hands holding crude local-made quill pens. Helen had told Joshua he was working on a memoir of the heroic days of Valhalla's gentle revolution, when the peoples of the Long Earth had stood up for their independence from the Datum. A brief drama, barely remembered now, Joshua suspected, by Rod and his coma friends, as they faded steadily into the endless stepwise green. Anyhow, Joshua knew Jack was right about the lateness of the hour. Even though many of the younger generation were slipping away, the core population in Reboot still made a living off the farms they and their parents had carved out of the native forests, starting around a quarter of a century ago. And, following the rhythms of their animals' lives, they generally retired with the setting sun. Midnight was a foreign country to farmers. But Helen said now, "Oh, hush, Dad. When I'm doing my midwifing, we're up all hours. Newborn babies don't keep to any clock. Why, you get up in the night to make me coffee when I come stumbling in before the cocks crow. And besides, if this is the only time Rod has to be with us, I'm not about to sleep it away. More tea?"
"Not yet, thanks." Rod looked uncomfortable. "Mom, listen. I heard you have some news, too."
Helen raised her eyebrows. "Gossip travels fast, even across the Long Earth."
"Well, I'm not sure what you heard, Rod. But the truth is..."
Jack cackled.
"She has a new boyfriend. That pasty-faced kid, Ben Doak."
Joshua forced himself not to grin. He was glad he'd had time to absorb this news already himself. By now, it didn't feel so bad. It was just another layer on top of the lump of wistful sadness and regret he'd been carrying around inside since his marriage had broken up. And Ben Doak was kind of geeky. Helen snapped.
"Oh, shut up, Dad. He's not a kid, for God's sake. He's only a couple of years younger than me. You know him, Rod. He was another of the first settlers, him and his family. We got to know the Doaks pretty well, even during the trek. He has a couple of kids of his own, younger than you, and he lost his wife to a forest disease that hit us hard a year back."
"I've been back since then, Mom.
Sorry.
And since I lost my husband to another kind of disease," with a glance at Joshua, "we thought we'd, well, join forces." Jack snorted.
"Sounds like a military alliance, not a marriage. You ask her this, Rod, because I've tried and I get no answer. Does she actually love this dog boy?"
Evidently this was an old argument between the two of them. Helen flared back.
For all the time you've spent out here, Dad, you still think it's like Datum, Madison, where you grew up, full of people coming and going, full of choice for company, where you have the luxury of waiting until you've found somebody you could fall in love with. Out here, it's different.
Rod took his mother's hand. I do understand, Mom. It's the same for us.
Jack said, sure, running around in the forest like Robin Hood and his outlaws. You're not in one of those extended marriages we hear about, are you?
If I was, I wouldn't blab about it to you, Granddad, would I?
Jack thought that over and winked at Rod.
Fair enough.
Mom, I will come back for the wedding.
That's good. But she looked briefly anxious.
It's not settled yet, the date. How will I contact you? I mean,
I'll just know, don't worry. He added mischievously, actually, it sometimes helps being related to the great Joshua Valiente. People take a bit more notice of what you're doing. They pass on messages.
Helen gave Joshua a dismissive look. I know it's his birthday, but don't make him any more big-headed. And he knows as well as I do that I'd much rather he spent this big day with his family instead of going off on yet another dumb long-earth jaunt.
A jaunt with my son, Joshua pointed out. Some of it, anyhow. Quality time.
Jack said,
it's only because you couldn't manage the trip any other way, you old fossil.
Rod laughed. And speaking of the journey, we need to get going. Mom, thanks. These cookies are delicious. And the sugar will help keep me awake.
Jack grunted, it keeps me awake knowing how much we had to barter for that sugar. They use the damn stuff as currency out here.
Could I get a doggy bag?
So the midnight party, such as it was, broke up. There was a final packing up, a stiff hug and handshake for Joshua from ex-wife and father-in-law, a last slurp of strong coffee. Then Rod, carrying a lantern, led his father out of the little township and down a forest trail to the river, where there still stood a stone commemorating the too brief life of Helen's mother, Jack's wife, and where, in a clearing, Rod had landed a small plane.